Page 83 in Maimer Revi, Chaf Hei. We start here a new section in the Chavar's Lessons to the Kuzari. And this is interesting. Any Jew could ask the question. He said, give me an example of some of the ancient books of the Jewish people. So you would think it's the Gemara. No, the Gemara is relatively recent. He teaches him about Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah is either written by Avraham Avinu or taught by Avraham Avinu, written by Rabbi Akiva generations later. Sefer Yetzirah is mentioned here and there in different places. The most famous place Sefer Yetzirah is mentioned is in regard to the creation of a Golem, which many people managed to do without the Sefer Yetzirah. But the idea that if one studies the Sefer Yetzirah and other secrets of creation, and we find that Tanoim HaMiram discussed the creation of living creatures somehow through learning, and that comes from the Sefer Yetzirah. That is not what the Chavar teaches the king about. He's not teaching him the book, specifically not teaching him the book. He's telling him about the book. Now, what the idea of the Sefer Yetzirah is, why it was written, and not specifically not teaching him what it says in the book itself. So,
is there any difference between the Sefer Yetzirah and Kabbalah, Zohar?
The Zohar is something totally different, but obviously it would overlap. It would seem to overlap. I never studied the Sefer Yetzirah, so I don't know. But it would seem that it would somehow overlap with a lot of the mystical ideas. Omar HaChavar, Mehem, of the ancient books of the Jewish people, is Sefer Yetzirah, V'hu La'Avraham Avinu, V'hu Amok U'Pirushei Aruch. It's a deep book, and it would take a long time to explain it to you. However, he wants to explain, Hayra Ala Lekusei V'Achdusei B'Dvarim Eschalfin. The idea of the book is to teach Yichud Hashem, the Achdus of God. Even if you take out his secular books, they say Avraham Avinu taught the world monotheism, which is the idea that there's Hashem Echad, that there's only one God. That was the teaching of Avraham Avinu. It's very difficult for us to imagine a world in which there's a Yetzirah to believe in multiple gods, because nations of the world today, those who are atheists, they're not even interested in one, so go sell them more than one. You know, like it doesn't work. But in the world Avraham Avinu entered, everyone believed in a creator or in a god, but they believed in multiple gods because it appears from the world that there are multiple forces in struggle one against the other. Forces of good and evil, of light and darkness. It seems that there's a battle between them. And the Rav Sadia Gaon is quoted here in the notes on the bottom, who says, Avraham Avinu, Olav HaShalom, Osa Zeh, Keneged Chachmidai, right? Avraham Avinu wrote this book, or taught this book, in response to the wise men of his generation, Shayocholkim Al Inan Yahachdus, who argued with the concept of Achdus. This is what Sadia Gaon writes in his Shaharishin of his Sefer HaNemunah B'Tochen. So that's the idea of Avraham Avinu's Sefer, to teach, the unity of everything in the world. And he explains, Alakus Achdusa Bidvarim Mischalfin Misrabin Mitzad, in forces that are mischalef, that seem to interchange. Misrabin Mitzad, and they seem to come in multiple forms. Avalhei Misachtin Nismachin Mitzad Hacheres, but from another viewpoint, they come together as one. V'haskamasa mitzad ha-echad. The word echad here should be in quotation marks. The haskama is from the concept of echad, from the concept of oneness. And that's the aside of Avraham Avinu's book. The aside is that there is a single unifying force, the Rabbeinu Shalaylam, that unifies everything that exists. To us, it's fascinating because the unifying theories of nature are the story of the great discoveries of the 20th century in the world. Einstein's whole lesson was to bring together ideas of time and matter and to teach that and energy, that all these things, matter and energy, are one, was known already centuries earlier. That matter and energy are forever conserved and just transformed from energy to matter. And Einstein went and was able to incorporate the idea of time and space being somehow one thing, something the brain doesn't really have a proper tefis on, proper thought on. You know, they used to say that Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, Einstein said there are only 8 people in the world that really understand it. And I'm not one of them, you know, what he would say. But to understand it fully, I have no idea. But the idea that somehow space and time interchange are one, or the idea that matter and energy are one, which we already grew up with, it's a unifying theory of the universe. And Einstein, it is said, spent the later part of his life trying to incorporate the other forces of nature, magnetism and the two electrical forces, into one unifying theory of everything, which he never, and gravity, which he never succeeded. But it's fascinating that we come from Avraham Avinu's time to today. Today, a world that doesn't believe in God nevertheless believes that there's some unifying mathematical formula for everything. See, look at nature. It's incredible how everything in nature, all the forces of nature, have mathematical equations that can explain the way they work. Anybody read, just study high school physics and you see, right, for a lever, there's a formula for how much a lever could lift. There's a formula for everything. And it's as if, you know, somebody with a lot of brains created all of it. What do you know? The idea of a unifying theory in nature is what we see as the proof of intelligent design, that there's a Borei Olam that created the world. And that idea, in a sense, is the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah says that when you look at the world, and you see good and evil, you see light and darkness, you see fortune and misfortune, you see things that seem to be cannot be connected, cannot be explained. When you look at the vastness of the universe, and you talk about things that happen in this little speck that we call Earth, it just seems incomprehensible that it's all one unifying cheshbon, all one unifying accountant that does everything. The book of Sefer Yetzirah is made to teach that everything Hashem created falls under one accounting system. And the more orderly nature is, the more of proof we see it, people who believe in a Borei Olam, the more orderly everything in nature is, the more we understand that there has to be a designer to it. So Avraham Avinu taught the idea of oneness in everything. And the way the Kuzari breaks it down is as follows. Haskamasa mitzad ha-echad. The haskama comes together and that power of echad, of a unifying force, the Rabbi Nishalayla. Ashi yisadra mehem. Now the next three words are sifar, v'sipor, v'sefer. Some prints may have the order slightly different. But there are three concepts that he explains each of the three in the next page. They are sifar, I would translate as explanation, conceptual explanation. Sipor v'sefer, it means it can be explained and it can be written down. Is the best I can get to explain it. He explains each of the three. Now, as he's saying is, to understand Achdus Hashem, you have to understand three things. Ritzaynei. B'sifar, hashior v'afilus begufim hanivroim. Means a examination, a thoughtful examination of everything that's created with ki hashior ashiya haguf mesuda va'aruch roi l'masha nivralai. The shior here doesn't mean the measurement, but it means in an orderly fashion. Orderly fashion of everything in creation which has which has what it needs, which has what it needs to be put in the right order. Lo yiyya ki'im b'minyan, mida, umesura, v'hamishko. Everything in its proper weight, in its proper numbers, etc. V'erach ha'tenuais, v'sidur ha'music, ha'kel b'minyan. It's interesting, in the footnote he seems to take, in the notes underneath, he seems to take music as a prime example of the fact that proves Achdus Hashem, because music is so orderly, and so the pleasantness of the science of music has such a seder, has such a beautiful order, that it's got to be that there's a composer that composed it. Now, I'm not someone who appreciates music, so I'm not sure I understand that, but what he's basically saying is that the first of the three items that point to Achdus Hashem is the orderliness of everything that exists. Many like to point to the fact that scientists say that we're fortunate that the earth is at this distance it is from the sun. It would be a little closer than it would be too hot. It would be a little further than the plants couldn't grow. And this just happens to be exactly so. And that just happens to be we see as a creator, and the Gaisha world sees as the one in a trillion chance that an explosion would happen and that earth would come this way. And you tell them it's one in a trillion, what are the odds it happened? They say, well, we see it happened. So, you know, it just happened to be.
Rob Miller used to give an example. He said it would be the equivalent of taking barrels of ink and dumping it on a piece of paper and coming out with the encyclopedia.
With encyclopedia, beautiful. Okay. The Rambam, I think, said the spilling ink and coming out with a beautiful painting. Obviously, encyclopedia would be even less likely.
There are some paintings, beautiful paintings that are just like that. They're very expensive.
Yeah, the ones that the monkeys draw. Yeah. Okay. Now, it's interesting. We say, he brings here at the bottom, I think, from the Sefer HaKedah, on Rosh Hashanah, we say psukim of Shaifreis, Zechreinais, Umalchiais. That means we say three psukim each from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and then we conclude with a fourth pasuk from Torah. Psukim that mention Shaifreis, Zechreinis, and Malchias. The Gemara says that one of the psukim of Malchias is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And we say that at the last pasuk, Shaifreis, Zechreinis, Malchias, the last pasuk, we say, V'ne'amar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Chazan says it with a nice ending, nusach. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why are we saying Shema? We say Shema, it's like we're ready to go to sleep, you know, it's a long davening. So, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Gemara says Malchias. That's a pasuk of Malchias. The only pasuk of Malchias that doesn't say the word Melech in it. That doesn't say, in the other pasuk of Malchias, we say, Mi Uzeh Melech HaKavod, Hashem Yizeh Gibar, Hashem Gibar Melech HaKavod. Right, we say Melech HaKavod. Why is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad a pasuk of Malchias? So he explains that that's what the Kuzari is teaching here. That the achdus of nature, the achdus of Bria, the achdus of everything in creation, the fact that everything in creation comes together in such an orderly way, points to a melech, points to a melech of the Bria, one who created the Bria, and Bal HaKedah's Lashon, the language that's brought here is, Tam Kriyaseis Baruch Melech Shasholem Shaloi. God is called the Melech Shasholem Shaloi, the God to whom peace belongs. So it doesn't mean peace as in war and peace. It means Mitzade Yosei Meshbia Al Beruav HaMisiachdois V'Haskoma Hashem Chaim Aleha. It means that in nature where forces seem to be, to contradict each other or to pull in opposite directions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shasholem Shaloi, right, Hashem makes peace among the forces, the heavenly forces, and that peace means the coming together of what would be opposite forces that created, that caused people to believe in different gods. So basically, the Sefar, or the Svara, of Avraham Avinu's book was to show that the orderliness of nature and the fact that things work together point in a very powerful way to the Achdus Hashem. Rotzaloymer Sefer, Kasha'ato Roya, Haboina, Lo Yetze Mitachas Yade Bayis, Achekodab Tziuroi Bedavshai. The idea of Sefer is an idea of, no creator creates anything unless he planned it out in the first place. Sorry, you have a different, nusach. Sipur next. Okay, Viratza b'sipur. So he goes on to Sipur as the second. Hadibur v'hakayl. Sipur is a story. Hadibur v'hakayl literally means a voice. Aval. But here it doesn't necessarily mean a voice. It doesn't mean God's voice. Hu diber elakai, koel diber elakim chayim, tia by mitzius, hatechuna vahatzelem asher doiver ba. It's, what we mean here is the form that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, so to speak, with his words, with his dibor. Kama shenemar, yihi ar, vayihi ar, yihi rakia, etc. V'loyotza ha-dibor ha-shenimtza ha-maisa. Now, the way this is explained, he quotes here from the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim, that when we talk about God's speech, we say the world was created by Sarah Ma'amores Nivra Ha'ilam. So what does it mean? It means God spoke. You speak, usually there's someone listening. If you create voice waves, it's because there's an ear about to listen to it. And God said, Yihi Ar, there was no listener to Yihi Ar. So he explains on the bottom, he quotes from the Meir Nevuchim, that we have to know, and it's an old rule that we've discussed in the past, that when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Gashmistic words, with physical words, what we really mean is the representation of the physical. See, Yad Hashem is a Yad HaChazaka, a strong arm, a strong hand. So God doesn't have five fingers and a hand. But by a human being, a strong hand means a hand that can cause things to happen with great might. So we borrow that language to talk about God doing things with extraordinary might. We say Yadaya Chazaka. See, the Meir Nevuchim says that when you talk about God's speech, it doesn't mean creating voice waves. It means creating a decision. You think about things. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. And then you say something. You say, you know, I'm going to shul. I'm going to learn. I'm going to go to the store. It's an exhibition of a decision. The sipur of Hashem, a kaviyachol, God's decisions, God's decision of Yihiyar, etc. Now the question becomes: okay, so that's the second. The first thing is svar de svara, the logic of the orderliness of nature, and the second is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting each thing into place. Now there's a question: if when we say God speaks, we really mean God decides. Why doesn't the Torah just say God decided Yihiyar? Why does it say V'yemer Hashem Yihiyar? It's a little hard to understand. Should have said that God decided Yihiyar. What? Good. V'rach piv kol tzavam. Very good example. It says with the wind of his mouth, Hashem created the heavenly bodies. So here in the Eitzer Nechbat, he says the following. Why does the Torah say "Vayomer Elokim" if it means God willed it? Instead of "Vayomer Elokim Yihiyar," say "Vayirtza Elokim Yihiyar." Nira loy shumibnei shaya nira sheneschadish by harotzayin hahu. It looked like God came up with a new idea. If you would say God decided, it means as if God decided. So in Be'emes, she'en chidish ratzon lefan of Yizbarach, achaya beratzon kaidem b'tziyura ishiyah ve'es hazayis ar u'b'es hazayis rekiyah v'chein kulam. What he says is that it's not possible, we believe in a not changing God. Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan in his books constantly makes a point of a non-changing God by discussing the question of whether God can create a stone that's too heavy for him to lift. Right? That question. Can God create a stone? So God can do anything. So you can't say God can't create a stone that's too heavy for him to lift. On the other hand, it can't be a stone that's too heavy for him to lift. So how do you decide? How do you answer the question? It's like asking somebody, did you beat your wife lately? You know, like, it's a paradox.
It's a paradox. Both things can't be true.
Both things can't be true. So what's the answer? What's the logical answer to that?
It's ridiculous.
So the way he explained the ridiculousness of it is that God lives outside of time. There's nothing, there's no sequence of events in God's world, except where he creates time. And therefore God doesn't change. So that would mean kaviyachol, a changing God, a God who can do anything and create something he can't do. That's how he, at great length, explains the concept. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will doesn't change, if the Torah would say God decided there'd be light, it would mean that one day God woke up in the mood that there should be light, and yesterday he didn't want there to be light. So it says Vayomer Hashem, meaning that this was, it always had to be this way. There was no moment where God decided. If it would say the Lashon Vayirtza Elokim, it would sound like he decided. So it says Vayomer Elokim Yihiyar, as if to say that he put it in place. He put it in the right place. Someone, excuse me? He didn't change his mind. But it says that Hashem wants to create the din, it couldn't work, so he created a rachamim. But that was the original plan, to create a world of rachamim on the on top of din, which it's not a 2 minute discussion. Maybe we'll discuss it at some point for a couple of minutes. But yeah, see, you have to. There's something very important to understand. Hashem created a world of what we call binyan al gabi chorbin. This world is a world where you build on destruction. It means to say that nothing in this world useful can be created by man without destroying. Let's say you want to make a wooden table. The only way you can make a wooden table is by first taking a beautiful tree, a living tree, and killing it. And chopping it down and cutting it into wood. What are you doing? You're taking a good tree. All building in Olam Hazeh is binyan al gabi chorbin. Is building something on destruction. You have to take a good seed and put it into the ground and let it rot. And then something gets created. All building is building on destruction. It's that way when human beings do things as well. If you hire two people to draw you plans for a new home, right? So you get two of them. You figure you'll see which one you'll use. So you get one of them goes and he sits down, he draws up plans and he hands it to you. The other one draws up plans, reviews it, crosses out, erases, and changes. The one that erased and changed is going to be the better one, assuming they started off equally capable. The one that erased and changed is going to be successful. Because in this world, everything is binyan al gabi chorbin. You build on failure, build on destruction. That's the definition of Olam Hazeh. So it says Hashem created worlds and destroyed them. It's not that God tried, he said, oh shucks, let me do it again. And try it again. He said, let me try it again. You know, God could get it right the first time. But the idea was to create a world which is defined as binyan al gabi chorbin. Olam Hazeh entirely is binyan al gabi chorbin. Adam Rishon on the first day failed. The first luchais failed. Everything has to fail in order for success to follow. It's a world of binyan al gabi chorbin. There has to be a desire to do it b'midas hadin, and then it doesn't work. It has to go with the shittuf of din and rachamim. It's a world of binyan al gabi chorbin. That's part of the seder of Bria, and that's why a person who's never sick, and the first time he gets sick, he's not immune, he's gonna die from a common cold. Because you have to get germs once in a while and have some immunity to it. The whole world is that way.
Biological reproduction is not destruction.
What? Biological reproduction is not destruction. Reproduction? Well, biological reproduction is all destructive. Gemara has a lashon that the egg doesn't turn into a chicken until it's masriach, until it stinks. A good egg, you eat. If you let it rot, then it'll turn into something. Gemara says, Gemara has an expression for it, that the shadi tichla bakula, the rot has to go in the whole egg in order for the, in order for it to reproduce. There is, to whatever degree, there's a certain amount of destruction in every building. And, it's really a discussion unto itself. The point that he's making here, we did two out of three, is that the orderliness of the world testifies to a single creator, and the putting things in place, the sipur of Hashem. I'm still missing v'sefer. I guess it's good we have one more day before Abayin Hazmanim.
When it says Hashem is everywhere, and yet he gathered the Shechina to be in one place in the Kodesh HaKadosh. How do you do that?
The idea of Tzimtzum, well, the Shechina is more. It says when you have 10 people, the Shechina is there. When you have 3 people, the Shechina is there. Even one person, the Shechina is there. There are different levels of Shechina. Nevertheless, there is an idea of Tzimtzum, which all these things are long discussions. Not fair to do them in 2 minutes. It's also not fair to keep you here for an hour and do them. So we'll do the Sefer tomorrow before we start our Ben Hazmanim for the Kuzari.